If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You Must Remember This is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the amazing Rico Bronya podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
Rico Bronya! Trade deadline edition of Rico Bronya. The deadline has come and gone. I am driving home from a busy day of Giants camp. I'm going to have to ask a very awkward question to Pete Hoffman before we start this podcast. I'm driving home, and because I'm driving home, I can't use Google Maps. And I am now deeply concerned I'm going in the wrong direction. This is the kind of society we live in now where I don't know where to go unless Google Maps is helping me. So, Pete, while I start talking about the Mets, if I'm on the Garden State Parkway and the exit numbers are going up, is that good for me in terms of getting back to where I live in Westchester?
That's very good. That is a great sign. Keep on cruising.
Okay, good. Good to know. Thank you very much. Sorry for the video if you're consuming this on YouTube. The drive home video feed is not the best, but hopefully the mic sounds good. That's all that matters. So let's talk about this trade deadline. Thank you, Pete. I'm deeply concerned. I don't know where I'm going, which just shows you the not just the state of me, but really in general, how we don't know where we're going unless Google Maps is helping us. Look, I don't love Cedric Mullins. I'll start with that. He hasn't been really good for a couple of years. But he is an upgrade. He's an upgrade to this roster. He is better than Tyrone Taylor. He's a very good defender. So from a defensive perspective, they add themselves a better hitting version than Tyrone Taylor. I'm not concerned about what they gave up. I think what they gave up is a testament to player development, something David Stearns touched on. Like, they didn't give up highly touted prospects. They gave up guys that they turned into people that now teams want, including a guy who throws 101 miles an hour in single A. In Gomez. So I'm not prospect hugging. I'm not getting nuts about what they gave up. So I think Mullins, and it's sort of complicated, is clearly an addition. He's clearly better. He gives them options in center field. What I don't love, and we'll see how Mendy executes this, is Cedric Mullins taking at bats away potentially from a young player. Because the way I see it right now is Jeff McNeil is earning everyday playing time, and he is your most of the time second baseman. And then you've got Vientos, Mauricio, and Beatty really battling for two spots, assuming that Mullins plays every day. And I do think, and David Stearns wasn't very committal in his answer to what the roles are. He was basically, it's up to Mendy. We got a lot of good players. We'll figure it out. I hope it's kind of the hot hand thing. Like, if Cedric Mullins comes here and is hitting 195, I'm sorry, he can't be guaranteed every time at bats. I love your defense, and now they have another option in terms of an outfielder that can defend at a high level, not just Tyrone Taylor, but I want Mauricio and Beatty and Vientos to still have that opportunity. So just on a simple level, Tiki asked me this while we were on the air. He said, are you excited? I'm not excited. I'm not mad. I don't think it's a bad trade. I don't know how anyone could think it is. I think it's okay. I think the Mets improved themselves on the margins. When I had said they needed a bat, I don't look at Cedric Mullins as the bat that's going to change this lineup. Look, a lot of changing this lineup are guys needing to perform, guys that are already here. I mean, we know about the slumps that Pete Alonso and Francisco Lindor are going through right now. So they need to be better. That's the bottom line. They got to be better. So I think like a bat such as Suarez even Robert Jr., I know he hasn't had the greatest year, but I do love his upside. I think those are the kinds of guys that could have really enhanced this lineup. This lineup needs to be enhanced by the guys that are already here. Juan Soto needs to be clutch, assuming he's in the lineup on Friday. Lindor and Alonso need to wake up. What I think Mullins brings, because he does bring some positives to this, he can run, he's got some pop, he's 10 times the hitter that Tyrone Taylor is, and so he does give them another option in the outfield. My gut, and what I would do as well, is that Luis Angel Acuña is going to AAA. He's the odd man out, because I think Acuña's value, position versatility, which they already have a lot of, speed off the bench. Well, wait a second. Tyrone Taylor now is speed off the bench. Because how often is Tyrone Taylor going to play? Like, Tyrone Taylor, and I'm not going to say he's expendable or I'm going to DFA him. I wouldn't go that far. But Tyrone Taylor's playing time has just taken a major hit. Because even if you think, well, he's a right-hand hitting center fielder, Ev, he'll play against lefties. Mullins actually hits lefties. So when I'm divvying up playing time, I don't see many avenues where Tyrone Taylor plays. I think Tyrone Taylor's biggest role now is going to be speed off the bench. Or a guy gets hurt. Obviously, we saw Soto get hurt the other day. I think that's where we will see more Tyrone Taylor. So the everyday lineup, who plays when? Against lefties, I think it's easy. Against lefties, Brett Beatty and Ronnie Mauricio are likely the odd men out. I think against lefties, Vientos plays third base, McNeil plays second, Mullins plays center, and I do think Starling Marte plays right field. Marte still has a role on this team. I think against righties, which of course is most of the time, I think McNeil and Mullins probably play most of the time, unless they earn not playing most of the time. And then I think you're talking about Beatty, Vientos, and Mauricio for two spots. The DH spot, which remains wide open, and obviously third base. And it's up to Mendy to play the hot hand. And that, those hot hands should include McNeil and Mullins. I don't think both of those guys should just be guaranteed that they're playing every day. Mullins certainly gives you the best defense. Vientos doesn't if he's playing third base, but I see Vientos mostly DHing unless there is a lefty on the mound, and then he plays a lot of third base. So, I like it. I'm not dancing in the streets. I'm not screaming and yelling. I was more enamored by Robert. I think the Robert thing was clearly not going to happen based on the White Sox ask, which was probably crazy. The fact they didn't trade him, the fact that the Phillies pivoted to Bader, we pivoted to Mullins, I think that it shows you that the ask from Chicago was too high. Same thing with the Padres, another team that was linked. They ended up getting Ramon Laureano and Ryan O'Hearn. So you saw a lot of teams basically say, you're asking for too much for a guy who's still a question mark, and he is. He's a question mark with a high upside. I like the addition of Cedric Mullins. It's okay. It's fine. The roster's a little bit better. It is now on Mendy to play the right guy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You must remember this as the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's at the right time. Pete Hoffman, I know you're a Bader guy, and obviously Bader ended up in Philadelphia. Your thoughts on the New York Mets acquiring Cedric Mullins as the center fielder that they needed?
Yeah, is it an upgrade over Tyrone Taylor? Sure. Is it the upgrade that's going to help, you know, jumpstart this offense? No, not at all. That's part of the problem. Again, like you said, too, I don't care about the prospects you give up. I don't. Get the guy. Now, that guy didn't get traded. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right.
So I guess what are you going to do? But if I had the choice between Mullins and Bader, I would have been more excited about Bader. I know what he can do. But Mullins, I mean, I just got to cross my fingers and hope that David Stearns knows what he's doing.
You ask a really good question, though. It's interesting. Bader, Mullins. I'll tell you why I disagree. I prefer Mullins. I think Harrison Bader is what he is. He's a fourth outfielder. I said that a lot last year on the Rico. And look, Bader's got dramatic kind of vibes to him. Like, it would not surprise me if he goes on some kind of crazy run with Philadelphia for a short period of time. You never know. He had that with the Yankees in the postseason a couple of years ago. So I am certainly expecting that Harrison Bader will stick it to us at some point. But I think he is what he is. Mullins has been an all-star. You know what I mean? Like, and his numbers, like, they're not great, but he has hit 15 home runs. I think that Mullins is probably overall a better player. The righty-lefty thing doesn't faze me at all either because, like I said, Mullins has hit lefties. I think that they're on a similar level, but I would say that if you're giving me the choice between the two and you're assuming the prices are the same, I'd give the slight edge to Cedric Mullins. But you hit on this, and I brought this up a lot on the most recent Ricos with post-trade deadline discussions. I don't get annoyed unless there's someone else that was traded that I wanted. And we'll get to that in a few minutes on Duvall, who got traded to the Yankees. But in terms of outfielders, Stephen Kwan wasn't traded. Luis Robert Jr. wasn't traded. The center fielders were Ramon Laureano, Harrison Bader, and Cedric Mullins. And, you know, when you look at those three players, I think when you look at their careers, Mullins the best of the three. So there isn't anybody else. In terms of just impact bats, because, yes, the Mets have the versatility to add Suarez and just say you're the DH or you're the third baseman and McNeil's going to play a lot of center field. Yeah, Suarez was traded. So in terms of impact bats, you could certainly argue that. I think the price tag, especially considering what Seattle gave up, was going to be very high. He certainly would have impacted this lineup in a more major way. But in terms of defense, this obviously was the cleaner move, bringing in Cedric Mullins. I'm not surprised that you kind of got the vibe that we're going to add a center fielder. Now, let me pivot to the starting pitching front. I get why we wanted starting pitching. And no one's saying we shouldn't want starting pitching, especially when you look at Holmes and Montas, the state of both of them right now. Not as much saying it, even though he's struggling. Starting pitchers were not moved. Merrill Kelly was the big one. But I ain't getting nuts about Dustin May or J.P. Sears. So when you look around, Sandy Alcantara's still there, which I think was smart on the Marlins side. Joe Ryan is still there on the Minnesota side. Even Zach Gallen is still there in Arizona. Starting pitchers were not hot and heavy at this trade deadline. So I would have liked a starter, but there isn't a lot I can point at and say, what about us? What about us? What about us? I think they wanted a starter. I think they wanted to clearly dump Paul Blackburn. David Stern spoke to the media after the trade deadline passed. I just listened to it. And his answer around Blackburn was fascinating, which was, hey, what's his role? And instead of saying, well, he's got one more rehab start, he'll be back. He said, he's got one more rehab start, and then we'll talk to Paul about what's best for him. What's best for him? I mean, I think there's a chance he's DFA'd. I think there's a chance they ask him to stay in the minor leagues, which I don't see why he would do, because he could get a job elsewhere. They also buy time just in case there's an injury. But we have now entered, and this is a big freaking deal, and I got vibes from Stearns because he alluded to the young pitching. We've entered the stage now where the young starters, specifically Sprout and McClain, are factors. They could not get a starting pitcher. I'm sure they tried. We heard about them potentially being moved to the bullpen. I think if Holmes and Montas struggle, or even if they don't, but they go no deeper to games, I think you got to consider, and I think they will, McClain and Sprout having an impact on this team. And who knows what that turns into. I'll never forget many years ago, Matt Moore, the lefty starter for the Rays, getting called up and within like weeks starting postseason games. It is not crazy to be a August or September call-up as a young prospect and make a big impact. And it's on the table because Sprout and McClain have been nasty at AAA. And they got to be factors. And I threw this out on the air. I think I did it on the Rico too. If Clay Holmes isn't going to go deep into games, call up a sixth starter and have them tag team a game. Clay for four, here comes Sprout. Here's Sprout, here comes Clay. I think there's a lot of creative options that David Stearns has at his disposal on how to handle the wrist rotation for the rest of the year, considering no one's walking through that door from the major leagues. You have Senga, you have Peterson, you have Manaea. That's a really solid top three. Four and five right now leave a lot to be desired. but you have two prospects that are busting to get to the major league level. So I'm not mad they didn't add a starter just because a lot of starters weren't moved. Let me get to Camilo Duvall. I know Hoff's a big Camilo Duvall guy, and I could be remembering incorrectly. We may have talked about this off air or on the Rico, that when they got Rodgers, you were like, hey, what about Duvall? And I didn't think they were trading him. Like, I thought the Giants, while they sold Tyler Rodgers, I didn't think there was going to be a full sale, especially a guy like Duvall who's got 2 years of team control. So let's go through the positives and negatives. It doesn't sound like the Yankees gave up a lot. So I can't even harp on what they gave up. Now, Duvall's good. He's not Durant. Durant is better. And that's why the Phillies gave up as much as they gave up. The deal with Duvall is that he's electric, but he's up and down. We've seen him lose the strike zone. We've seen him lose his closer's job. So while I think the upside of Duvall is incredibly high, I think he's more volatile than both Ryan Helsley and, damn it, I think I went the wrong way. Crap, I got to figure this out. Oh, man, Google Maps, I miss you so much. I may have to wrap up the Rico in the next few minutes so I have Google Maps. But we've gotten to the main points. We did a lot on Helsley and Rodgers yesterday on the Rico, so you can go back and listen to the previous episode. But I think Rodgers and Helsley are safer than Camilo Duvall. That's what I would say about that. I think Duvall is much more volatile. Now, there is certainly appeal about the fact that he's under control for multiple years, and the Mets didn't care about that. I mean, they're going all in on, look, we got these good relievers. This was the price tag. These are our best options for this season. We'll worry about 26 when we get to 26. And that's the reality. Like, in 26, they could re-sign these guys. They may not. Or they could sign other guys. Like, there's so many factors. But I can't get nuts about Duvall. I think it was a keen move by Cashman. I give him a lot of credit. But I do think, not to spin it, but Duvall is a much more volatile reliever than both Ryan Helsley and Tyler Rodgers. Your thoughts off on the Duvall aspect of this whole thing?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie and say that I was the creative genius behind this. It just was, I was watching MLB Network yesterday, and they kept on scrolling saying that there was a report that somebody is still highly interested in Camilo Duvall. So after the Rodgers trade, I'm like, that is a possibility that he does get moved. Now, here's the thing, though, right? Here's my issue with Camilo Duvall being moved and all these other guys being moved. If it's cheap, then maybe the Mets should have gone after some more pieces, too. Like, would I still prefer? Like, listen, is there room for Camilo Duvall on the New York Mets roster? Not really. But I saw so many other arms. Griffin Jacks got moved for Taj Bradley, which is a little bit pricey,
right,
in my opinion. But there was a ton of moves last minute. It felt like the Mets got the pieces they wanted, hung up the phone, and waited around for a half hour waiting for somebody to call if there was like a last-minute thing, and no one called.
I got to tell you, I think they're done with their bullpen. We went through how many arms that they have, how deep they are, and I like the guys they added. Now, we could parse the prospects and say, well, maybe they could have given up less. F that. Like, Rodgers has been one of the most reliable relievers in baseball, and Helsley's an electric closer. So a lot of relievers removed. I love who they added. Like, if you would have told me going into the deadline, Soto, you know, is okay. But specifically, Helsley and Rodgers, I would have been absolutely ecstatic. So I think they did very well in terms of who they added. I think what the Yankees did with Bednar and Duvall, also really good closers, is they built themselves out for next year. And look, we'll worry about next year. I mean, they could re-sign all these guys. I have no idea. They may lose Edwin Diaz. We don't know. We'll see how line in the sand David Stearns goes on the contract that Edwin's going to want. But I think overall this was a really good trade deadline. And I think when you compare it to last year, or you compare it to 2022, or you compare it to 2016, the Jay Bruce year, I think it's clearly their best deadline they've had since 2015 in terms of our expectations. Obviously, it was an impact guy with Yoenis Espino, Lee Addison Reed, and Tyler Clippard, and Juan Uribe, and Kelly Johnson, not in that order, of course. But I think in terms of what they did to improve this team, specifically the bullpen, I think David Stearns did a great job. Now, here's the difficult part. We could sit here all day and talk about what Rodgers has done and Helsley has done and Mullins has done. Now they got to do it here. You know, and that works both ways. Tyler Rodgers has been healthy and reliable. He may not be healthy and reliable here. Same with Cedric Mullins hitting 217. Cedric Mullins could come here and hit 350. So that's the risk of the trade deadline deal. You never know specifically what you're going to get. But I like what they did. I think the Mets are a better team. Now, a lot of teams in the National League improved. San Diego went down, to quote Brian Cashman. I thought the Phillies had a very solid trade deadline. But I think we were in the mix, and I think we did a very good job, and I'm pleased with what David Stearns did. And now, you know, we get back to the real tough questions, which is, can Alonso get hot again? Can Lindor get hot again? Can Soto be healthy and hit with runners in scoring position? And if the answers can be yes, and this offense can be consistent, we certainly have a bullpen that could protect leads. I did go the wrong way, for those that care.
Oh,
I quickly went to Google Maps, so I am turning around, and since I'm trying to meet my wife for dinner, that's not ideal. So I'll leave it at that. Go ahead. Of course.
I think we missed this. Well, guess who got traded to the Brewers last minute? Shelby Miller and your boy Jordan Montgomery. Think about that.
Wow. Oh, Jordan Montgomery is out for the season.
And he has an opt-out, so which means he's getting traded to someplace he's not going to opt out of. Has he played for the Brewers before? I forgot the teams. It was the Cardinals.
No. It was the Yankees, Rangers. The Cardinals, the Rangers, the Diamondbacks. Like, he bounced around. That's an interesting one. I guess that came in at the buzzer, if you will. But Brewers improved. Cubs improved. I mean, like, everybody kind of improved themselves. Now we got to go out and play some kick-ass baseball. That's the bottom line. Thoughts on the deadline? We'll definitely do an email pod coming up soon, so you can email us, therico@gmail.com. therico@gmail.com. Big weekend coming up against the San Francisco Giants. We'll, of course, give you a series recap when the series is done, as we always do. If you're new to the Rico Bronya, we'll always mix in some instant reactions like we're doing right now. And then after every series, we always guarantee you a Rico Bronya. I will warn you that Sunday Rico Bronya after the Giants series is going to be really late at night, because I'm going to SummerSlam. So I'll be, God knows what time I'm getting home. By the way, how was Cody Rhodes today with Sal and BT? I did not hear it. I know he was on. Was he a good spot, Pete?
Oh, he was badass. And I don't know if you saw, we had Triple H on yesterday too, and he talked about the sledgehammer that Brandon Nimmo uses. And he said, I don't know if you could use it on the umpires the way that they use it on the refs at times, but, you know, it's not as bad tool to use. By the way, I might see you at SummerSlam on Sunday.
You're going Sunday?
I'm definitely going Saturday. I may be going Sunday, so that could be really late, Rico.
Name me two matches that are scheduled for SummerSlam. Let's see if you can name two.
Cody Rhodes versus John Cena.
There you go. That's the main event Sunday, yes.
And Ripley versus, I don't know.
It's a triple threat match. He's in a triple threat match, and I even forget. It's Rhea versus Io Sky, I think, and somebody else. I honestly, that's on me. I'm mocking you. Meanwhile, I'm like, I forget. Okay, that match.
How about this? Real last geeky question. What is your favorite horror movie at the moment? Rhea Ripley.
What?
What is your favorite horror movie at the moment?
I don't even watch horror movies.
That's it. You don't know her then. You don't know her like I do. She loves this movie called Terrifier. Look it up and do not watch it with the kids.
All right. I appreciate the advice. So we got Rico Bronya this Sunday. It may be very late since we'll be back from SummerSlam. But thank you very much for listening, downloading, and subscribing. A brand new edition, a trade deadline recap edition of Rico Bronya.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Bronya podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You must remember this as the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.